Hey, everyone. Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.
Live from our WSBT radio studios in downtown South Bend.
Let's go! Come on!
Welcome to Budweiser's weekday sports beat.
Wow, don't blink. A lot of major intestinal fortitude going on here.
On your home for Notre Dame football.
Knocked down by Wooden. The game is over. The Irish is upset. Florida State, Notre Dame is number one.
And Notre Dame basketball.
Number one ranked UCLA Bruins have been upset by the Irish of Notre Dame.
Good! Enrique Ogunbowale wins the national championship for Notre Dame.
Plus, Fighting Irish hockey.
They score! Jake Evans scores! Notre Dame 3.7 seconds away from a spot in the national championship game.
The NFL and Major League Baseball.
Oh my gracious, yep. How about that?
Sports Radio 960 WSBT, WSBTRadio.com, the free WSBT radio app.
Big time onions!
Now, here's your host, seven-time Associated Press Broadcasting Award winner, Darren Pritchett.
Well, here we are once again. It is a beautiful but cool day in South Bend in northern Indiana, southwest Michigan. We welcome you to Budweiser's weekday sports beat wherever you are as we broadcast live on 960 AM WSBT. We are streaming live at WSBTRadio.com, on the WSBT Radio app, and also a live video feed courtesy of Twitch. My name is Darren Pritchett. Great to have you on board on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. It is the eve of the 93rd installment of the Notre Dame football blue gold game, the scrimmage that wraps up spring practice for the University of Notre Dame. Of course, there'll be seats available at Notre Dame Stadium tomorrow if you want to brave some temperatures in the upper 40s. It looks like a high of around 48 tomorrow. We'll have our broadcast booth with the windows wide open so we can feel and smell the game at Notre Dame Stadium. We're looking forward to our annual broadcast of the Blue Gold game here on WSBT Radio. We will start our coverage at 12:30 with a 35-minute pregame show, and then we will get the game started at 1:05. The only kickoff of the day will take place at 1:05. The Blue team will be receiving that kickoff, and they'll have the football first, which means Steve Angeli will hop out onto the field first as Notre Dame's starting quarterback for the Blue team. Eric Hansen will be the analyst. He, of course, is our co-host Wednesdays and Thursdays in the 5 o'clock hour. And, of course, you know him as the Hall of Fame writer, the publisher, the editor of InsideIndySports.com. So looking forward to Eric breaking down the game. I'll have the play-by-play for you. And for those of you outside the area, let me give you some options. There are several ways to listen to tomorrow's Blue Gold game. We have, of course, the old-fashioned way, 960 AM. We're available, a live stream at WSBTRadio.com, the free WSBT Radio app, and Sirius XM Radio is picking up our play-by-play. It'll be on Sirius XM Channel 381 and online 971. I assume you all know what that means if you have that particular product. So those are the ways to enjoy our broadcast live from Notre Dame Stadium with our WSBT outlets. All right, 10 minutes after 5 o'clock tonight, coming up on the program this evening, plenty of Notre Dame football conversation. You'll hear from offensive coordinator Mike Denbrock, defensive coordinator Al Golden. Their units will be on display at Notre Dame Stadium tomorrow. We will have some things I'm hoping to discover or learn about from the Blue Gold game tomorrow. We have our SportsBeat Inside IndySports.com Twitter question of the day results from yesterday and a brand new question today. We have an installment of Would You Rather coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. One of the questions I'll kick around is this. Would you rather in college football have your favorite team have an elite offense with an average defense, or would you rather have an average offense with an elite defense? We all want elite both ways, but just hypothetically speaking, how would you answer that? I'll offer my thoughts coming up in a little bit. We'll have our Notre Dame football week in review. As we've talked Notre Dame football, as you would expect all week, you'll hear from Tyler Horka, Mike Singer, Allison Hayes, Eric Hansen, and myself in that particular segment. And we wrap up the program with our sports wagering segment, We Going to Sizzler. We had to wait for the Cub game that was rained out last night to be played today, and Cubs win by a score of 8-3. So we hit our two props from yesterday's show with that Cub-Marlin game. So we went 3-0 last night, which is really, really good news. So we were cold for a while, and now we've gone 7-1 over the last couple of days. And now we got a winning streak. We'll have more picks coming up at the end of the program. In fact, we've got 5 tonight, 3 from Major League Baseball, and 2 from the NBA playoffs. All right, that's what we have in store over the next couple of hours here on WSBT Radio. South Bend Cubs baseball tonight, 7:20 pregame, 7:35 first pitch from Beloit, as the South Bend Cubs will take on those pesky Skycarp from Beloit. It used to be the Beloit Snappers. That had kind of a ring to it. The Skycarp is different. It's unique, to say the least, and they have beaten South Bend the first 3 games of this 6-game series. So the Cubs are 3-9 and looking for a little victory tonight in beautiful Beloit, Wisconsin. On that note, let's transition to Notre Dame football, the Irish, on display tomorrow. If you're a fan, you got to be excited. Yeah, we know it's a fake game. You can never take everything to heart that you see. But as a fan, I just got to imagine you're intrigued. From one standpoint, you get to see 3 of your 4 quarterbacks on display, including the new kid, CJ Carr, who, according to Marcus Freeman, has looked good from day one. He was hanging around this football team, working out on the field during bowl preparation. And that's continued into the spring. So you get to see those quarterbacks in Mike Denbrock's offense. Now, we're going to get a scaled-down, generic-looking offense tomorrow. Mike's not going to show anything. But I'm excited to see some of the different looks that come out of a Mike Denbrock Notre Dame offense. We get to see those new wide receivers on display, and we've heard about this elite defense during the spring. Well, we'll see them out there tomorrow. Now, the problem is, when you draft teams, you don't have ones versus ones. You're going to have some teams that have weaknesses in one spot. They might be the dominant force in another part of their unit. We're not going to see the offensive line together, which I'm sure a lot of fans would like to see what that group looks like with all the changes at the tackle spot. But they're on separate teams, so I think we have to take offensive line play just what it is tomorrow, with pieces being put together for this Blue Gold game. But this is a team that there's a lot of buzz about across the country. I think you as an Irish fan are excited with Golden and Denbrock as your coordinators. On paper, a very doable schedule. And the playoffs go to 12 teams this year. And the opportunity for Notre Dame to host a playoff game in December. We're going to bring our friends from the South up to South Bend, and we're going to show them what real December weather is like. Hey, that's the plan. As we know, it's a roller coaster ride through college football. You never know until you throw that football down on the ground. But right now, from the outside looking in, this feels like a very interesting team and season for the Fighting Irish. All right, Mike Denbrock, third tenure as a coach at the University of Notre Dame. He left Brian Kelly and the family down in LSU to become the offensive coordinator in South Bend. He loves this place, and he's back again, coming off helping Jaden Daniels, the LSU quarterback, win the Heisman Trophy with a high-powered LSU offense, and it had to be a high-powered offense because their defense was not good last year. They had to win some shootouts. Mike Denbrock recently discussing the progress of the offense.
We're making progress, and that's really the hope, is that, you know, every day we get a little bit better at the specifics and the details of what we're asking these guys to do. And we're making progress there. It's painful to watch at times when we don't see adjustments and we don't quite know yet how to fix some of the problems that a defense can present us. But when we do and we make the plays, then it's pretty fun to watch. So we're in that process, and it's going to be into fall camp before that process even really, I think, takes root. We're trying to get it to take root. We all want it to take root as fast as humanly possible, but the reality of the situation is there's a process that's got to be gone through, and we're kind of in the middle of that, about halfway through spring. So I like what I've seen. I love our competitiveness, and we'll see how detailed we can get and how specific we can get about understanding how to do our job consistently well all the time.
Tell you what, I don't know if there's anything better for an offense that is trying to come together with the new parts and Mike Denbrock's way of running an offense, and you're trying to get better at your craft, and you're going up against that Al Golden defense in practice every day. Wow. It'll help them down the line. I'm sure there have been some tough moments, but down the line, I think you might see this be a very beneficial month and a half for this Fighting Irish offense, because I'm not sure they're going to face a better defense during the regular season than this group across from them in practice during the spring. Mike Denbrock on some of the new guys, how they're fitting in to this offense. I mean, you got to like the fact that Chris Mitchell comes from Florida International, a speedster coming off a really good year at a big game against Arkansas from the SEC. He's now a part of the new group of players coming together here in South Bend on the offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think all the guys that are new to the program here in the last few months are going to help us in some way. I think we're still trying to define as many of those roles. We're only 6 or 7 practices here into the spring, and we got some time to do that throughout the summer even and into fall camp. So, but the early returns are very, very positive and very encouraging for all the new faces that we have in the program.
I mean, you got Mitchell coming in at wide receiver, Harrison from Marshall, special teams guy that can add some depth at wide receiver. We will not see him tomorrow due to a plantar fasciitis injury. You look at the two freshman running backs that have been brought in, Young and Williams, really intriguing prospects. And, of course, you got the Riley Leonard guy. Things got a little sidetracked with that second right ankle injury, but it sure seems like what we've heard, that things are progressing a lot better this time in the second surgery, replacing that plate. And hopefully he's on track to be healthy this summer and on the field, full go, 100%, no looking back, day one of fall practice. And we assume the quarterback competition will pick up at that particular point. And eventually, we'll have a starter August 31st against Texas A&M. I think we're all still putting our bets on Riley Leonard to be the guy, and I would be shocked if it's someone else unless there is an injury involved. And speaking of quarterbacks, you've got a lot of different traits among the four quarterbacks. And Mike Denbrock recently talked about all the different styles of quarterbacks that he could have in this offense.
I think it can help, of course, but I mean, I think it's versatile enough. The style that we play is versatile enough to fit just about any quarterback. So regardless of who ends up winning the job, we're going to be able to be explosive and aggressive with what we do. So a lot of what we do is quarterback driven. So that guy's got to be the right guy. He's got to be able to think the game. He's got to be able to execute the game. He's got to be able to adjust what we're doing when need be. And I think all the quarterbacks, at least thus far, have done a nice job of doing that.
All right, that's Mike Denbrock, the Fighting Irish offensive coordinator. Mike, welcome back to South Bend. We're looking forward to seeing your offense in not only 2024, but beyond. And he's got some fun quarterbacks to work with. 521, Darren Pritchett with you, Sports Beat on WSBT Radio. To the defensive side of the football, the stingy old Al Golden defense. He is in year number three of running this defense. Among some of the really impressive stats from last year, the number one pass efficiency defense in the nation. And also, they were number five in total defense. But you know what? You can throw those numbers right out the window.
Yeah, again, I just look at it like, I hate to keep saying it, but like last year doesn't matter much. You know, like whatever we accomplished as the 23 defense, you know, there's no, you know, you don't get to carry it forward, you know. And I think the challenge for our group now is who are we? Who are our leaders? What do we do best? And that's all of us. That's coaches. That's players. Do we play with the same effort and attitude? Do we disrupt the ball the same? Are we as gritty in the red zone? All those things, that's our challenge. That's our challenge as coaches. That's my challenge. And then ultimately, you know, we have to, you know, see what we do best and then build on it.
Well, when you look at Al Golden's defense, sure, they lost some really good parts from last year. Cam Hart comes to mind, the outstanding corner. Middle of that defense, linebacker J.D. Bertrand, Javonte Jean-Baptiste. Did anybody expect him to be as good as he was? Wow, he was fantastic. Great work by Al Washington. Al Golden, Marcus Freeman, not only getting him to South Bend, but raising his level of play, and we'll hear his name called next week, probably on day three of the National Football League draft. Even with those names gone, you still have kind of the big six that are back. I mean, up front, you got Howard Cross and Riley Mills. I'm going to throw in a transfer that's shown to be a very dependable player from Duke, R.J. Oben, who had five sacks as a defensive end for the Blue Devils last year. At linebacker, Jack Kaiser. You're going to see him on the field a lot this year, probably at the Will linebacker spot. You've got an All-American candidate in Benjamin Morrison, and you have the Nagurski Award winner at safety, Xavier Watts. Now, there's other really good parts, but those six, to me, are the first six names that come to mind when you think about the core, the nucleus of what Al Golden wants to do this year. Now, there's going to be Mickey and Gray. You look down the line, a Josh Burnham, the linebackers, Sneed, Drake Bowen, KVA. I'm leaving out tons of names, but you can see there's going to be a lot of parts, and you're probably going to see interchangeable parts. You're going to have probably a handful of linebackers playing depending on what Al Golden wants on the field in a particular down and distance situation. I'm really curious to see what the pass rush is going to look like. I feel like we say that every year, but Al did a great job of formulating pressure on the quarterback. Last season, Notre Dame picked off 16 passes. Again, number one in pass efficiency defense. Some more Al Golden for you, talking about the pace of spring.
I always install for the long haul. So it's really not about winning today. It's about being where you want to be, come the opener. So, again, for me, it's whatever we install, just – every day, you know, quality controlling it, trying to get better at it, create the drills that support it, and then, you know, carry it over into the summer and then ultimately into preseason camp.
And finally, Al Golden had some thoughts on the linebacking core in the Blue Gold game tomorrow. Gold defense will have maybe the starters on their unit. The sophomore, Drake Bowen, in the middle. Jack Kaiser at Will, Jalen Sneed at Rover. Those could be your three lining up against Texas A&M. But all in all, a lot of good trinkets at linebacker for Al Golden to work with?
I just think overall, I think there's a collective mentality with those guys, and they're interchangeable. They're really smart. They're competitive. And, you know, we ask them to do a lot of different jobs, you know, whether it's early downs on or off the ball, 4-3, you know, being in the apex to the field, third down. Some guys are rushers, some guys are linebackers. So we just ask them to do a lot, and those guys have responded. It's a great room. It really is. Really so much fun to be around.
And you'll probably see a lot of them on Saturday and beyond throughout this 2024 campaign. Great defense last year, giving up about 15 points per game. How much better can they get this year? It's going to be a fun, fun group to follow in 2024. And again, hopefully they're playing in a cold weather game at Notre Dame Stadium in December. This unit against an offense from the South in maybe some cold, wintry conditions, I think that'd be a lot of fun. We'll even hand them some hand warmers just to help them out a little bit. I wonder if the Irish will come out in no shirts. Remember against Florida State years ago? Was it Florida State? I think it was Florida State. Irish defenders were coming out without a shirt on and just playing with the minds of Florida State. And if you got a team from the South, just Texas or Florida, and Notre Dame comes out without any shirts on, that would be a shock to the system of the Horns and the Gators. Hey, never know. That could happen later on this fall. All right, those are some thoughts from our coordinators leading into the Blue Gold game, Mike Denbrock and Al Golden. We'll hear from Fighting Irish head coach Marcus Freeman after the game tomorrow at Notre Dame Stadium. One more opening topic to get to, and I'm a little disappointed because I just feel like, in particular, college student athletes, no matter the situation, I think there needs to be a respect toward your coach. And if you're leaving that program, the institution that you're leaving behind. If you did not have a great experience, if it didn't go well, I just don't think we need to necessarily go down that road. If it didn't work out, you pack your bags, and if somebody else wants you, that is fantastic. You get a new opportunity, and hopefully the grass is greener on the other side. So this is kind of unique. The two college basketball teams that I cheer for, more than any. Growing up in Illinois, I'm still an Illinois fan, but being here 25 years, I've adopted Notre Dame as my other favorite basketball team. So this week was a unique situation in which a Notre Dame player went to the portal and transferred to Illinois. And that's Kerry Booth. Now, Kerry Booth, on paper, was the most dynamic and highly thought of recruit in that first Micah Shrewsbury class. Booth, the son of a Denver Nuggets executive and great player Calvin Booth, was supposed to go to Penn State with Micah. When Micah got the Notre Dame job, he followed him to South Bend, which was great news. 6'10 player, great length, outside shooter. Felt like he was going to be a good pick-and-roll guy. And Kerry Booth got a lot of opportunities to start for Micah Shrewsbury's team. And Booth, a top 75 player coming out of high school, didn't have the massive impact that I thought he might have in his first year. That's my opinion. Maybe I was dead wrong. Maybe I had too many expectations. But he averaged 6 points per game, handful of rebounds, started over half of Notre Dame's games, was given a great opportunity by Micah Shrewsbury. Only at 29% of his threes. I was disappointed with that number. His last six games, he shot 37%. So hopefully that was a sign he was turning the corner. Well, after the season, he jumped into the transfer portal. And at the time, he mentioned he would think about coming back to Notre Dame. Doesn't seem like that was a realistic possibility. He went through the transfer portal process, and he ended up picking Illinois. Now, Booth could have just packed his bags and moved on to Shambana. But he did an interview with On3. And this is the part that I'm very disappointed about. He was asked about finding a new home, leaving Notre Dame and going to Illinois. Booth was quoted by On3 as saying, quote, "I want to go play for a coach that believes in me. That is the most important thing. Play in a program that lets me play my game. They play faster, run, and get up the floor. When the team is rebounding and flying around, everything opens up," end quote. So Booth decided to take, on accident or on purpose, a little shot at his former head coach and basketball program, and I just think it was unfair. He was given a great opportunity to play at Notre Dame. He started over half the games. If you don't produce, is Micah just supposed to start you because you're a top 75 recruit? You've got to earn the opportunity. And I think people, in particular players, get too worked up about who starts. I'd rather be the guy that my coach wants me on the floor when the game's on the line. Second half, coming down the stretch, I want to be the guy. If that means being a sixth man, I'm cool with that. I want to play the big minutes. Yeah, it's cool to run out of the huddle and the smoke's going, the video's playing, they're screaming your name. Yeah, it's cool. Everybody wants to start. But more important is who finishes the game. And to say that he wants to play for a coach that believes in me, well, he believed in you to bring you to Penn State and then to Notre Dame. And Boo said, playing a program that lets me play my game. That's not what this is all about. It's about you doing what the coach wants you to do, and any outstanding coach will take your best traits and use them to help the team. Coaches adapt to talent. Each year's a different year. So why did this need to be said? It's disappointing. Again, he's going from one of my favorite teams to the other, and I now look at him different going to my other favorite team because this is kind of garbage to me. This is just not cool. It's a very, maybe it goes under the category of being immature. I guess as young people, we all do and say stupid stuff, so I'm trying to look at it that way, but it's not difficult not to kind of throw your old team under the bus. Not necessary, because, man, the head coach believed in you a lot to bring you along two different times where he was located. And I'm just picturing Notre Dame running at times as well, getting fast break opportunities, Marcus Burton going down the floor. There's some chances now. Illinois probably will run more, but Illinois was a great rebounding team last year. They were awesome rebounding the basketball, and when you're a great defensive rebounding team, you're going to get fast breaks. Let's be fair. That was not a strength of the Notre Dame team. If you're not a great defensive rebounding team, that's going to limit your fast break opportunities, right? When you're taking the ball out of the hoop, and this is just an example, I'm not saying Notre Dame was bad defensively, but if you're taking the ball out of the hoop too much, you're not going to have fast breaks. So what he saw in film from Illinois, yeah, they were a great defensive team, but this is a brand new team this year. Are they going to be that good? Maybe they'll have to play a different style. Just go on to your new team and leave Notre Dame alone. I didn't like it. I'm trying to say he's a young kid, but that's just unnecessary commentary. Sometimes saying no comment is the best way to go, or just say, hey, I appreciate the opportunity I got with Micah and playing for Notre Dame. It was awesome, but I'm really looking forward to my new opportunity. Done. End of quote. We'll see how he does. He's got a lot to prove. 5:35 is our time. I'm Darren Pritchett. This is Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Tonight's program is brought to you by our title sponsor, Budweiser, and their great product, Ghost Energy. It's the feel-good energy drink we've all been waiting for, featuring Sour Patch Kids-inspired flavors. by Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger. Now with three locations, serving Michiana's most favorite pizza since 1978. Bethel University Athletics. Sign-ups for youth summer sports camps are underway. Visit bupilots.com for details. And by First State Bank, committed to being a premier financial partner. First State Bank demonstrates and delivers hometown values. Coming up in our next segment, two things I want to accomplish. Number one, tell you about two rules changes for college football in 2024. And also, some things I'm hoping to discover or learn about this year's Fighting Irish football team from tomorrow's Blue Goal game. I'm Darren Pritchett. It is 5:36. This is Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Thanks, Lynette. It is 19 minutes in front of 6 o'clock. We welcome you back to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on your home of tomorrow's Blue Goal game. Our coverage starts at 12:30 here on 960 AM WSBT. Some news from college football today. We have been assuming that these new rules for college football would be approved, and they have been approved. Here's what you're going to see different in college football this year. I think both of these make sense, in particular the second item that I'm going to talk about. But up first, new to college football this year, the adoption of the two-minute warning, which will apparently not result in an additional television timeout. We've seen it in the NFL for years, the two-minute warning at the end of the second quarter and at the end of the fourth quarter. Now, in the NFL, that is an opportunity for the NFL to make more money and their television stations as they go to commercial break. But apparently, from what we're hearing, that college football, it will not be a television timeout. So it might be one of those where they go double screen. They show, for example, the Notre Dame huddle taking place. And then another part of the screen, they'll run a television ad. That is a distinct possibility. But apparently, it will not lead to leaving the game for a television break. So the two-minute warning is coming to college football. And also, there is going to be helmet communication and the use of tablets in college football this year. Now, the helmet communication stems from our friends at Michigan having some issues being naughty, stealing signs, going to games and videotaping and stealing signs. So in order to try to make things where there's not as much, well, let's just say this, staying within the rules of cheating, that was going outside the rules. So helmet communication is coming to college football. And again, if you're an NFL fan, this is going to be basically the same system. Let's use Notre Dame as an example. Drake Bowen is the Mike linebacker. Jack Kaiser is the Will. Normally the Mike makes the calls in the huddle. I would assume that would be the case if Drake is the Mike. Maybe they have Jack Kaiser do it since he's more experienced at the Will. Whatever the case may be, Marcus Freeman and Al Golden will select one player on the defense to have the technology within their helmet. So the person that calls in the defense from the sideline can pass along the information to that one player in the speaker in their helmet, and then the player passes it along to the other 10 members of the huddle. So the helmets with the communication technology will be marked by a green dot sticker on the back of the helmet. That's how the NFL identifies the player that has the speaker. And again, very similar to the NFL, I was hoping this was going to be the case, and it is. The communication from the sideline to those helmets, they will cut off with 15 seconds left on the play clock or when the ball is snapped, whichever comes first. So it's not going to be a situation where, for example, Mike Denbrock sees something in the defense and he wants to tell Riley Leonard or Steve Angeli, Kenny Minchie, CJ Cart, let me cover all my bases, whoever the quarterback's going to be. Maybe with five on the play clock, he sees something and he can change the play at the last second. Well, if you went until the ball was snapped and then the clock gets near zero, you could do that. I just don't think that's the way football should be played. There is responsibility on the quarterback. So when that play clock hits 15, everything shuts down. Now, if you play with tempo, you get the play call in, you get to the line of scrimmage, the Irish could look at what the defense is doing, and you might have time to change something up and give the quarterback that new call from the sideline as long as it comes before 15 seconds are left on the play clock. I've heard there is an annoying screech that goes across the NFL technology when you try to communicate under 15 seconds. Apparently, it is not pleasant, so you don't want to tick off your quarterback. So the helmet technology is coming to college football. More than likely, the quarterback and a linebacker will have the speaker in their helmets to take the calls from the sideline. I would assume we're going to have those weird boards with weird emblems and logos on it still as a backup plan. But as of right now, this is a step forward. And also, in college football this year, teams can have up to 18 active tablets for use in the coaching booth, sideline, and locker room. Tablets cannot be connected to other devices to project larger additional images. They cannot include analytics, data or data access capability, or other communication access. All team personnel will be allowed to view the tablets during the game, but there are 18 to divvy up amongst the coaching booth, the sideline, and in the locker room. Again, makes total sense. Tablets have been a part of the NFL for a few years now, and it's a great way for coaches to coach on the sideline while their unit is taking a breather. I think these are all good things. I don't mind the two-minute warning, a chance for everybody to reset late in a ball game. These are college players, not pros. A little extra coaching late in the game can't hurt. Making sure you've got the right personnel on the field. Make sure you have 11 people on the field. Whatever the case may be, game management. It can be used in a lot of different ways. Helmet communication, love it. Tablets, absolutely love it. So good changes for college football today. All right, at 5:47, we've got the Blue Gold game tomorrow. Again, I'm looking forward to calling the game here on WSBT Radio at 105. So what are some things I'm hoping to discover or learn about from the Blue Gold game? I got to be honest, I may miss a lot of stuff because doing the play-by-play, I have to watch the football. So something happening elsewhere, a defensive end blowing by an offensive tackle, I may not see everything that happened. I'll see the end coming near the quarterback. So I'll probably have to go back and watch to really see if some of these things were discovered or we learned about in the Blue Gold game. The first one is, how do the Irish run the football? I don't think we're totally going to learn this in this game because Mike Denbrock is going to limit what he shows as the offensive coordinator and play caller. What I mean by how do the Irish run the ball, I think we are so used to Notre Dame coming out in 12 and 13 personnel. When we talk about 12 and 13, the one number is the number of running backs, the two and the three, the number of tight ends. And Notre Dame has tried to play shove it down your throat, run game football with those particular packages. They've had some great tight ends to use. The wide receiving core has been inconsistent the last couple of years, so you get your best players on the field. Mike Denbrock is more than likely going to bring a different philosophy. Not saying he's not going to use 12 and 13 personnel, he will, but you can run the football by spreading the field with multiple wide receiver sets. You want to get those running backs in space, just like you want to get people that are going to catch the football out in space. So you get some helmets out of the area. And if they close in on you, you throw it by them. If they don't come down and respect the running game, you run it down your throat, their throat, I should say. But you can spread the field and do that. So, again, we're probably going to see more of that, Texas A&M and beyond. We might get a little sample of it, but I'm really curious to see how effective the Irish run the football in different ways this year. You lose Audric Estime, but aren't we all still excited about the group that Dylan McCullough has? I am. I'm really wondering what it's going to look like at the Mike linebacker spots tomorrow. Kingston Viliama-Asa, KVA, the freshman, and also the local product from Andrean High School, the sophomore, Drake Bowen. They are competing for JT Bertrand's Mike linebacker spot. It's been a good spring for both players. That could be a really interesting competition into the fall. I just want to see how much they show up in plays. I remember last year calling the game with Eric. We noticed Jaden Osbury throughout that game. He just found the ball. He was a freshman. Well, you've got Bowen, who's a sophomore, KVA, a freshman. Will we be calling their names a lot? Will they be at the point of impact where the ball carrier goes down? It'll be fun to track the progress of those two tomorrow. Things I'm hoping to discover or learn about from the Blue Gold game tomorrow. This one, it's more curiosity. I don't think we're going to have any sort of final results. I am wondering about the offensive line. The starters are broken up. So you have to take with a grain of salt what's going to happen along the offensive line. Sure, we'd all love to see the starting five together and what they look like, but we're not going to see that. So this, I don't want to say put together offensive line. I'm sure most combinations have occurred in practice at some point. But you've got this offensive line that are going to have different parts on the blue and the gold going up against a really intriguing Fighting Irish defensive line. How are they going to hold up? With the quarterbacks being live, this is actually very important. Now, I shouldn't say everybody's live. Steve Angeli will have a red jersey on, and the veteran quarterback will not be hit. But for the young guys, Kenny Minchie and C.J. Carr, they're going to have blue and white jerseys on, and they're going to be chased by that Irish defensive line going up against whatever offensive line is put together by the blue and the gold. How's that going to look? Again, let's don't jump to conclusions. I think the offensive line, this is my opinion, is the most difficult to grade in a scrimmage like this just because you don't have your guys together. Now, if it was ones against ones tomorrow, we could have a better idea, but we had the draft. Starters are on each side. I know Jagasaw and Baker, they're on one side, the two tackles. So it'll be fun to watch the other side, what those tackles look like with the starters on one unit. Also tomorrow, this is something we can all have fun watching. We can get a good read on the wide receiving core going up against the corners. The Irish are hoping that they have new playmakers in that wide receiving core. In particular, Chris Mitchell from Florida International, lightning fast, can get down the field. You've got familiar names, Jaden Thomas, Deion Colsey, veteran players. You got now a sophomore in Jaden Greathouse. We won't see Faison tomorrow. We won't see Cam Williams tomorrow. We won't see actually Thomas and Harrison. So we're not going to get a full look at the wide receiving core. But I'm really curious to see Mitchell, the FIU kid, what he's going to look like going up against some really good corners for the Fighting Irish. Even though Benjamin Morrison will not play in this game, you got Mickey, you got Gray, a speedster like Micah Bell. Interesting matchups tomorrow, wide receiver against corner. And finally, last but not least, hey, this is not rocket science. It's the quarterbacks. It's not all about the quarterbacks, but the quarterbacks are front and center. What are they going to show us tomorrow? I'm really wondering if these two young quarterbacks, Minchie and Carr, how much they may use their legs in this game. Again, with the offensive lines being broken up, if plays are breaking down, are we going to see Minchie and Carr run a little bit more than maybe they have to or want to? I'm hoping the offensive line can hold up in spots so we can see these guys go through the progressions, read the defense, and try to make a play against this great-looking Fighting Irish defense. A lot of eyes on C.J. Carr. I mean, we've known this kid for a couple of years now coming out of high school. Marcus Freeman has spoke so highly of Carr. Minshew with tremendous upside. We kind of know who Steve Angeli is now, right? We've seen him. We watched him have success in the Sun Bowl. So can we learn anything about Angeli tomorrow? I mean, sure, it's a possibility. But there's just a lot of intrigue about the guys who have combined for four collegiate passes. Minshew 0 for 4. C.J. Carr, zero opportunities as of yet. Hope you'll join us tomorrow, 12:30 pregame, 105 kickoff of the 93rd Blue Gold game on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. We'll step aside. Twitter question of the day, a sports update, and more on the way on the eve of the Blue Gold game. This is Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat from Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
The home of the South Bend Cubs. Sports Radio 960 WSBT, South Bend, a Midwest family station.
This is the second hour of Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat for this Friday, April the 19th of 2024. My name is Darren Pritchett. It is 7 minutes after 6 o'clock. We are being brought to you by our title sponsor, Budweiser, and Ghost Energy, Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, Bethel University Athletics, and First State Bank. We are geared up for the Blue Gold game tomorrow from Notre Dame Stadium. We are live starting at 12:30 from Notre Dame Stadium. That's when our pregame starts. Eric Hansen from InsideIndySports.com and I will have the action for you starting at 105 here on WSBT Radio. And, of course, we'll break it all down for you all next week on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. Let's get to our sports beat, InsideIndySports.com Twitter question for Thursday. We asked you on my Twitter X account at 960SportsBeat, what do you believe is the biggest need out of the transfer portal for Notre Dame football this spring? The spring portal is open. So what do you believe is the biggest need? We offered you four selections. Number one, punter, with Bryce McPherson gone. Eric Goines, the individual who played as a specialist at the Citadel, punter and place kicker, ending in 2015, then went into the U.S. Army. Now as a 30-year-old, he's at Notre Dame. He's the guy with the most experience right now on the roster. So do the Irish need a punter out of the portal? Second choice, offensive tackle, Jagasaw and Baker, I think the media all believes, are the leading candidates to start this fall. Emil Wagner also is pushing for opportunities. Do you need a veteran left tackle to help this offensive line? Another choice to get a player out of the portal, what about the cornerback position with Clarence Lewis gone? We know that there is a Division I player that's been visiting Notre Dame that was a corner, so that's a possibility. So the fact that they brought somebody in means cornerback is a good choice. And what about safety? There seems to be enough talent there, but would you like to see another safety? You voted. Here are the final results. Only 4%. Not a big surprise. Safety was my last addition to this particular question. I didn't feel like it was really a big need, and I think you agreed. Only 4% went with safety. 13% decided that trying to find someone to fill Clarence Lewis's spot on the roster is important. 13% went with a cornerback. And again, with a kid on campus with great experience, that shows you there might be a need. Second place in the voting, I thought this might win it, but maybe it's just not a sexy answer. but punter came in second, 29% of the vote. And what do you believe is the biggest need out of the portal for Notre Dame this spring? 54% says you can never have enough offensive tackles. Offensive tackle won our vote. Jagasaw, Baker, Wagner, there's some young pups that they're grooming right now, but I think you might be looking for that dependable, pencil them in at left tackle type player, and I can understand that. We thank you for voting. Greatly appreciate it. Now we go to today's question. What is the most interesting piece of information that came out of the Blue Gold Game draft yesterday? So of the four choices I gave you, which do you find the most interesting? And you can define interesting however you want. Here are the four choices. Choice number one, the fact that young quarterbacks Kenny Minchie and C.J. Carr are live. They can be hit in this game. No red jersey for those two players. Choice number two, C.J. Carr playing for both teams, which means he might see a lot of action in the second half. And maybe before, who knows? Choice number three, the fact that KVA was the first linebacker selected. And your fourth choice, that Kaiser, Bowen, and Snead, they could be your starting linebackers against Texas A&M. They're all on the same team tomorrow. So what do you think? Of those four choices, what is the most interesting piece of information to come out of the Blue Gold Game draft? Minchie, Carr are both live. Carr playing for both teams. KVA was the first linebacker picked. Or Kaiser, Bowen, and Snead all on the same team. If you'd like to participate, I would appreciate that. You can go to my Twitter X account at 960SportsBeat. You can vote. If you'd like to leave a response while you voted the way that you did, we would greatly appreciate that as well. Again, Twitter X at 960SportsBeat. We'll bring you the results of Monday's, or I should say of today's question on Monday, and we'll have a brand new question for you on Monday's show. Probably something to do with which player impressed you the most in the Blue Gold game, so stand by for that. 13 minutes after 6 o'clock, I'm Darren Pritchett. I'll play a little Would You Rather coming up in a couple of moments. We've got our Notre Dame football week in review to bring you in just a little bit. You'll hear from the likes of Tyler Horka, Mike Singer, Allison Hayes, Eric Hansen, and myself. A wrap-up of things that happened over the last few days involving Notre Dame football. And we'll wrap up the program with our sports wagering segment. We going to Sizzler, went 3-0 last night. Five picks coming your way at the end of the show here on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. 617, Sports Radio 960 WSBT, streaming live at WSBTRadio.com on our free WSBT Radio app, a live video feed on the Twitch app. I'm Darren Pritchett. It is time to play a little Would You Rather. Within each statement, I offer two possibilities, which is the best. So let's get started with this. Would you rather have a spring game like we have now, or get rid of that and have a preseason college football game? Basically an exhibition game like the four they have before the start of the National Football League season. So would you rather have a spring game or a preseason college football game, which would be against another opponent? From an excitement, interest level standpoint, the preseason game would be great for fans and the coaches could learn, but is it worth the risk? In the spring game, injuries can happen. But at the same time, the coaches have much more control over the players than going up against a team from a different school. Not saying something would happen, but the one time a guy comes around the corner and hammers the quarterback, I think we'd all be asking, is this worth it? So, yeah, the exhibition game would be fun as a fan, but from a football coach standpoint, if I'm in Marcus Freeman's shoes, I just don't think having an exhibition game is worth the risk. All right, our second would you rather. Would you rather in college football have your favorite football team have an elite offense, but you're going to have an average defense, or would you rather have an average offense with an elite defense? I think it depends on the era that we are a college football fan. 40 years ago, you probably go with the defense, because what have we heard for so many years? Maybe the new generation, you don't hear it as much, because in college football, it seems like a lot of points are the way to go to win championships. But you always heard defense wins championships. But college football has proved the last few years great offenses can win national championships. So in today's game, do I love Al Golden's elite defense? Absolutely. Can't wait to watch them on the field. Hopefully they're as good as we anticipate. But I kind of feel like scoring points is necessary. You need to be able to get to the paint and not settle for the field goal. You need to score touchdowns. Red zone efficiency is crucial. When I was growing up, I probably would say, give me the elite defense. And they're going to set up the offense with short fields, and my average offense can score. But today, watching what LSU did with Joe Burrow a few years ago, that dynamic Alabama offense that the Irish faced, I'm going to say I'm going to take the elite offense and the average defense. And finally, would you rather get your sports highlights on ESPN SportsCenter or from social media / internet sites? Now, being an older individual that grew up in the 80s, SportsCenter was like the cool thing. They had these anchors with their catchphrases. You had the Big Show with Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick. They made watching sports highlights fun. Chris Berman had his nicknames. ESPN SportsCenter has lost its luster. In fact, ESPN is basically only being watched, and I'm saying only in quotation marks, but the live sporting events. The other stuff, people aren't watching as much as they used to, which is how quickly we can get the highlights on Twitter or other social media accounts. I never watched SportsCenter. I used to always watch it. I don't need it anymore because I can watch my team's highlights on Twitter. I don't have to sit through the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Cowboys stuff. I can watch my highlights and not deal with 62 hours of Cowboy content a day. So I really broke free from ESPN with streaming services. You don't need it as much except for live sporting events. So I would rather have my highlights on social media, internet, because I get my team stuff right away. All right, that's a little would you rather for this Friday. Coming up, we've got our Notre Dame football week in review, sports wagering conversation to get to. We are heading toward the Blue Gold game tomorrow, 1:05 kickoff right here on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. This is Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Darren Pritchett back with you. And on this Friday, it's time for our Notre Dame football week in review. We begin by taking a look back at Saturday's close scrimmage at Notre Dame Stadium. We got some of the thoughts of Blue and Gold Illustrated's Tyler Horka. I know the Irish are really working their offensive line, trying to find the best combinations. How do you assess the sacks? Part of that having to do with lack of chemistry on the offensive line at this stage, but also factoring in that there appears to be some pretty good explosiveness from the defensive line, in particular some young guys.
Yeah, it's a lot of different things, but I'll start with this. I saw a first-team offensive line that is way ahead of the second-team offensive line, and that's good and bad because obviously that means there's some pretty good guys at the top. Like, I think Charles Jagasaw is going to be pretty good. Ashton Craig looks really good. There's, you know, really three or four guards that you have a lot of trust in, and we saw two of them playing on the first team offensive line. But Kenny Minchie was running for his life a little bit playing with the second team, and that was good and bad for him as well because it allowed him to make a lot of plays with his legs. I was actually very, very impressed with his athleticism, his ability to improvise, get out, and pick up yards on the ground. But it also meant that there were some free runners coming at him, and there were some instances where both sides of the offensive line just didn't pick anybody up running across the edge. And that leads us to what you just said with the athleticism of some of these guys. Man, Boubacar Traore, I thought, looked tremendous. Sophomore, obviously he was a little buried in the depth chart, hardly played last year, but when he did play, he got a sack of Caleb Williams, USC. I get it, USC wasn't great last year, but that's still Caleb Williams. You're probably going to hear that guy's name called number one overall in the NFL draft next week. So that is no small feat to sack a guy like that. And he looked like on Saturday, Traore, a guy that could sack anybody. You know, you line him up on the edge enough times, he's going to come around, he's going to win enough battles. And like I said, especially if you're not blocking him, then he's definitely going to get to the quarterback. So, yes, the explosive plays along the defensive line, those were there. And I thought the stunts that Al Golden was running, I mean, this didn't look like a Saturday scrimmage in April, Darren. This looked like Al Golden was coming after USC or going after Texas A&M, Florida State, whoever it may be. I was very impressed by the way that he lined Traore up out there, Jalen Snead, even linebackers, you know, like Snead or like Kingston Viliamu-Asa. He knows that he has some guys who are raw, inexperienced, haven't played a lot of football, but at their truest, you know, the truest part of themselves, at their core, they can rush the passer, they can get to the football. And I think Al Golden dialed it up for them. So good day for the defense, absolutely. The offensive line, again, there was a little bit of a drop-off there from the ones, the twos, and the threes.
I want to talk more about the defense in a moment, but let me go back to the offensive line. Do you think you saw the starting offensive line together during that scrimmage? If so, what did you see?
Yeah, I think I did. And the only thing that makes me say maybe we did not was Rocco Spindler was running with the twos, and obviously for the better part of last season until he injured his knee way, way late, and I think it was November when he finally went down, only missed three games. He was the, you know, a 10-game starter for this football team. Billy Shrouth moved into that role last year, and he really hasn't given it up as Spindler has been trying to get to 100%, which I think he's nearing but still might not be there. So that's the one spot, like I said earlier, you've probably got three guards that you feel really comfortable in playing, Pat Coogan being the other one. He is going to started all 13 games last year, lined up at first team left guard as usual in the scrimmage. So, and I mentioned Jagasaw. So you're looking at Jagasaw and Coogan on the left side. I mentioned Ashton Craig. He is by far your best center because, Darren, let me tell you, Sam Pendleton playing second team center, he had a lot of errant snaps, high, low, couldn't really find the quarterback in a shotgun situation. So that was a little alarming. Good thing you have Ashton Craig, because I think he's for sure your starter. And then, you know, it's that right side, I guess, we're looking at, Darren, where Spindler can maybe come back and compete with Shrouth and take his job back. That's going to be a little bit of a battle. And then Tosh Baker is really starting out of necessity right now at right tackle. He's been at Notre Dame for 5 years, has never been able to full-time starter. Having Joe Alt and Blake Fisher obviously dictates a little bit of that, but I think Notre Dame is going to be thinking all the time in the next 4 months, do we have everything we need at right tackle? Is Emil Wagner maybe better than Baker? Can we somehow steal somebody out of the portal this late in the game? I'm looking at that right side of the line, Darren, as areas where we may see a shakeup between now and August 31st.
Tyler Horka talking Notre Dame football, specifically the closed scrimmage Saturday at Notre Dame Stadium. Now to the defensive side, you've talked about the pressure that was put on that offensive line, including some young guys. Traore really stood out. They sounded, or I should say, this defense looked very elite in this scrimmage. And Tyler, it's pretty scary knowing that arguably your best defensive player, cornerback Benjamin Morrison's on the sideline right now.
Yeah, they just got pieces everywhere, man. I mean, all three levels, the line, the linebackers, the secondary, there's just really good players out there. We saw Jaden Mickey with the pick six. Xavier Watts, remember him? Led the NCAA in interceptions last year with 7. He got another one. Got his hands on the football again on Saturday. Took that to the house for an interception. We've been pumping up Adon Schuler for this entire spring. I thought he's had a phenomenal spring. Just a sophomore. Didn't play a whole lot of football last year because Notre Dame had a couple veteran safeties in Watts and DJ Brown. He gets his hands on the ball, ends the scrimmage with an interception of Steve Angeli. So the secondary, especially when you do get Morrison back, I mean, those guys are set. You got 3 really good corners in Morrison, Mickey, and Gray. The latter two probably going to be rotating out. You hope Morrison's healthy all year because he's just going to eat up so many snaps, as is Xavier Watts. I think Schuler is coming into his own there. Jordan Clark, I thought, looked really good at nickel. He was covering up guys. Jaden Greathouse got the best of him a couple times, but Clark battled back and, you know, had a couple PBUs and looked pretty solid in coverage. So the secondary set. The linebackers, they're young, but there's just so much upside. I mentioned a couple of them earlier. That's without even mentioning Drake Bowen yet. I think he had he's just a really solid football player, does all the right things, smart player, really learned behind J.D. Bertrand, did his best to soak all that up. He told us that a couple weeks ago when we talked to him. He's trying to emulate J.D. Bertrand, but he's trying to beat Drake Bowen at the same time. And I think that's going to be a perfect combination for him. So, yeah, just across the board, there's so many guys. And I'll end with this. Riley Mills and Howard Cross, they still look very, very stout in the middle of that Notre Dame defensive line, and that's kind of where everything starts up front. So just a really good group, Darren.
Read more content from Tyler at blueandgold.com. ABC 57's Allison Hayes was a part of the program. Alice and I discussed the quarterback position, C.J. Carr, Riley Leonard, and crew.
C.J. is here, and he's a freshman, and he didn't have last season. Now, granted, he got here early and he was able to do bowl prep, which I think has turned out to be a really, really good decision for CJ. But yeah, the confidence that he has out there, and that's something we've been talking about all spring. It was like just the eyeball test alone.
Sure.
You see that confidence in him and you see that sort of swagger that he's got to him. And that is exactly what you want to see in of any position, that I want to see that in a quarterback. And so he's definitely got that. And one of the things I thought that kind of just stood out, things that we talked with Gino Gadulli about, the quarterback's coach, and he had a lot of really positive things to say about CJ, and he talks about just how hard he throws that ball. He said he was at practice last week and with Riley was out, and so they're passing the ball back and forth, sure, just in warm-ups, and he's like a guy you don't want to be on the receiving end of it because he zings it in there so fast. But he to quote him, he says he can really throw the ball. I think he has a chance to be a really special player, and I think every Notre Dame fan wants to hear your quarterback coach say that. And they don't say that. I mean, they say it, but they haven't said it about everybody.
They haven't really said that about Minshew. They really like him, and they think he can be really good. But I
special?
Think they go a little further,
right,
with C.J. Carr, which makes you wonder, as we leave the spring and head into fall practice, what is the ceiling for C.J. Carr as a freshman? Is the ceiling being able to become the number 3 quarterback, whether it's because of a departure or just outplaying everybody that sticks around? Is there a chance he could move up to number 2? I don't want to get crazy because, again, he has not played in a real game yet. But by the way, the coaches continue to throw out the superlatives about C.J. Carr, it makes you wonder, what are the possibilities for C.J. as a freshman here at Notre Dame? He's not going to be the starter, but at the same time, I'm really curious to see, with the confidence they have in him that continues to grow, where he could end up on the depth chart early on or maybe at midseason.
No doubt about it. And I feel like there is that possibility with Denbrock too. Like, I think if Riley is to win that starting job, which everyone thinks that's the plan, but I mean, I don't know. Do you think so, that Denbrock would consider playing 2 quarterbacks? Or
No, I don't think so. I don't think anybody wants to do that.
Yeah. Well, no, of course not. But
I think Riley, they want him to be the guy. Riley's going above and beyond, standing behind the offense, standing next to Marcus Freeman and Mike Denbrock, mentally going through the repetitions of all the plays on Saturday. He's trying to get himself as ready as possible. And I go back to this, and Eric Hansen really flipped my mind on this, because I was really concerned about Riley missing all these snaps and all these opportunities in the spring. And, of course, you want him to have every rep possible. I always say the reason why you have spring practice, because the players need practice. So
Right. It's
not like this is all just, oh, it's all going to work out. You'd love to have him doing reps in practice, but that's not reality. But here's the thing. Riley Leonard cannot build any chemistry with Bo Collins right now.
True.
Or Mitchell Evans. Or Kevin Bauman. There's a lot of key parts in the skill position area that if Riley Leonard was healthy right now, he would not be able to be working with specifically in practice. So those type of things are going to happen in the summertime. So from that standpoint,
Yeah. He's
not missing everything. But of course, again, I'd love to see him having reps right now in the spring. Every rep is essential. But he's going to be working with the guys in the fall that, had he been healthy right now, he would not have been working with anyway.
Well, and we touched on it a little bit on Tuesday last week about him wearing the taco brace and being able to get back into practice a lot sooner than he would be if he was wearing a boot. And that particular brace made here in South Bend. But I asked Coach Freeman about, you know, the ability for Riley to be able to get out there still and be a part of it, even though he's not fully practicing. And he said that was all self-motivated, that was all on Riley. That was what he wanted to do. It was his idea. So he's out there. I mean, he's literally like, I'm watching as whoever it is, Angeli's dropping back, Riley's dropping back and like going through the same motions that he's going through. And then when they later into the practice, he's on the side, he's wearing the headset. He's listening to the calls coming in, the conversations going on. So while I was very concerned about missing out on so much and the chemistry being built, which I do think that is something that is super important. And whether, he may not be able to do with Bo Collins, but nobody is, but he could be with Jaden Greathouse. He could be with the other guys and you know, anybody you can get chemistry built with, the better.
Hall of Fame writer, publisher, editor at InsideIndySports.com, Eric Hansen, offered some things to watch for on defense in Saturday's Blue Gold game.
I'm going to go with the pass rush, and it'll be a little bit skewed because Angeli won't be live and the offensive line will be split up. But I do think I think Al Golden is going to dial back a little bit of the variety, but I think you'll get a sense of who's going to be part of this pass rush. And we were asked on the podcast today, who's going to be the leader in sacks. We had that as part of the Twitter question not too long ago. And I went with Boubacar Traoré, and I feel so much better about that answer after Saturday, but I do think you'll see a variety of guys be able to rush the passer. And I think that'll be kind of a fun part of it.
Number two on defense.
I'm going to say the safety play other than Xavier Watts, and not that you don't want to watch Xavier Watts because he has picked up where he left off last year, but Adon Schuler and Luke Talish especially, they're not on the same team. I would watch those guys because they forced themselves in the conversation about making this a rotation and not a duo with Rod Hurd II, and who's coming in June and from Northwestern, and Xavier Watts. I think those guys are going to play, and I think they're going to get into packages. And I think they're the future. They're going to be the starting safeties probably next year.
Okay. And finally, for the Blue Gold game, defensively on Saturday, the number one thing to watch out for.
We've been talking about how good linebacker recruiting has been in the last few cycles.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to show up Saturday. You're going to see athletes all over the place in that linebacker group. And I think it's going to be fun to watch. And they're going to be coming from different angles and having different roles. And the guy with the hair coming out of the back of his helmet, well, there's two of them. One of them's not a linebacker, but the one with the hair coming out of his is KVA, is Kingston Viliamu-Asa. Keep your eye on him. Drake Bowen, Jaden Osbury, who's number four now. Preston Zinter, I mean, you can go on and on. And even a guy like Kahanu Kia is going to be fun to watch, coming back from a couple years being on a Mormon mission, moving back to his natural linebacker position. I think his brother Ko is coming in for a recruiting visit as a committed recruit. So he'll want to show off for the family.
I was just thinking, I'm going to watch KVA. No, I'm not. I got to watch where the ball goes to in the play-by-play. But if he makes the tackle, then I'll be able
I'll
to watch
you.
It.
I'll elbow you.
Okay. All right, really quick. third opening topic for the show. You've laid out offense, defense, things to watch for. Are there a player or two that could wrap up a successful spring with a solid scrimmage on Saturday?
So I wanted to go a bunch of different ways, and I want to be consistent on offense and defense. I think guys that really made a move during the spring, like Jeremiah Love, would have been a good one because, you know, it's like a 1,000 yards rusher leaves, and you have another one maybe in the wings, and he may end up being better than Odrick at the end of the day, not this year, but in his career. But the two I'm going to go with are guys that surged and seized the day. And I'm going to go with Billy Shrouth on offense at offensive guard, who was our injury replacement late last year. I think he'll definitely be a starter. And when we talked to Hunter Bibben today, that was the first guy out of his mouth was Billy Shrouth having the best spring in the offensive lineman. On defense, I'm going with Adon Schuler. He'd start on a lot of teams, and he just took it from the very first. I mean, he was working hard in the winter, but he just grabbed it. It was funny. Luke Talich put on weight. Adon Schuler took off weight, and it was exactly what the doctor ordered for both of them. But I'm telling you, he's impressed me.
Get more information from Eric at his website, InsideIndySports.com. Four-star wide receiver Javon Boggs is one of the players that will be visiting Notre Dame during the Blue Gold game. With all the details, it's Blue and Gold Illustrated's Notre Dame football recruiting insider, Mike Singer.
Yeah, Darren, so we'll have a lot more Blue Gold game coverage of who's coming in terms of recruits. We'll have that at blueandgold.com, and then later this week on our Blue and Gold YouTube channel, I do a Friday afternoon live show, 1 p.m. Eastern time, with Kyle Kelly, my sidekick at Blue and Gold. So you can find that. But I did want to talk about one guy who right now, from who we know who's visiting, is the most notable, and that's Javon Boggs from Cocoa, Florida. Notre Dame is heavily pursuing his high school quarterback in the 2026 class in Brady Hart. We've talked about him a bunch. His teammate is in the 25 class, 6 foot, 200-pound, four-star receiver, Mr. High School in the state of Florida type season. He is an impressive prospect, very productive, and a former Ohio State commitment who recently visited Georgia. Notre Dame has been recruiting him hard since before he decommitted from the Buckeyes, which took place a couple weeks ago, I believe. And so, yeah, he's got some big-time programs pushing him. I think Georgia, Florida, Notre Dame, and Missouri might be the four to watch for him. He's going to be announcing a top six soon. We'll have coverage about that at Blue and Gold whenever he announces that. But visiting Notre Dame this weekend for the Blue Gold game, Darren, as we were recording this, Deuce Knight texted me, said he's going to be there this weekend. So that's obviously ideal news. Boggs and Deuce Knight have a good relationship. And I believe this will be their first time getting to meet in person. So Javon Boggs, from Cocoa, Florida, four-star prospect, former Ohio State commitment, visiting Notre Dame this weekend for the Blue Gold game.
Mike, for Irish fans, is the Blue Gold weekend for visitors anything close to like what happens on a game day? I'm sure the players are going through the process of the game day. So is the process of having visitors in town similar at all?
Yeah, I think the coaches get to spend more time with the guys because it's a scrimmage, and you know, it's a little bit different preparing for a scrimmage versus preparing for like Ohio State or USC or you know, whoever the team is. But yeah, it's always a really big recruiting weekend, Darren, for Notre Dame. We'll continue to confirm more names and report on those guys this weekend. Here's an interesting little note, Darren. This could be the third straight year that Notre Dame lands a defensive lineman in the high school sophomore class that no one had any idea. Brandon Davis Swain, the spring game in the 2022 class, announced Notre Dame out of the blue. Didn't see it coming at all. He later would decommit and I believe signed with Colorado. Last year, Davion Dixon, the eve of the spring game from Florida, just commits to Notre Dame out of the blue. I was like, oh, okay. That was a surprise. Does Notre Dame land another one? These defensive linemen just seem to want to just commit to Notre Dame on spring games. I don't know if that will take place. Now, this is not really because of what I'm just talked about, but I will be logging a prediction for Notre Dame to land a defensive lineman in the 2026 class on Tuesday night at blueandgold.com. So there's your tease, Darren. So I don't know if that player will commit this weekend, but it would be really interesting if the Irish could go 3-for-3, kind of a weird subplot note for recruiting junkies like me that notice this kind of thing.
Mike Singer with all the latest details on Notre Dame football recruiting at blueandgold.com. I'm Darren Pritchett. This has been our Notre Dame football week in review. The Blue Gold game coming up tomorrow, 12:30 pregame here on WSBT Radio. We'll get the game started at 1:05. More Sports Beat coming up next on Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
Hey everyone, Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.